Welcome to another episode in the podcast called Labor Matters, where I address trending issues and queries relating to employment, specifically within the context of labor laws and labor rights. I am Michelle Russell, attorney at law with a passion for employment law and labor matters, and I'm a self-described budding social activist. I'm also a columnist for The Nation newspaper, where I write weekly articles for the Sunday Sun on employment matters. So if you want to follow my articles and learn as much as you can on employment law, be sure to get your copy of the Sunday Sun.
This podcast is brought to you by eWallet by MasiCard.
MasiCard credit card has gone digital. Download the new eWallet by MasiCard app that gives MasiCard credit card holders more power to pay bills, earn Masi points, send credit, and so much more. Easy, instant, and secure from your smartphone. Go digital with the free eWallet by MasiCard app, now available on Google Play or the Apple App Store.
To get started or find out more, call the MasiCard hotline at 418-CARD. That's 418-2273.
Now, today, I wish to address or speak about our teachers. Recently, the teachers and their unions rejected a proposal by the Ministry of Education to teach summer school in parts of the month of July and August this year. Now, the teachers and the unions unanimously rejected the proposal of the ministry. Mr. Pedro Shepherd, who is the president of the Barbados Union of Teachers, known as BUT, he has spoken in the media on the issue, and he said that the reason the teachers are not open to teaching summer school is that they're tired. They've been going nonstop since March last year, and he mentioned that the educators need rest in order to preserve their mental and physical well-being. Now, personally, to me, this sounded quite reasonable, and I could understand why, especially given the circumstances under which they had to teach for the last year because of the pandemic, I could understand why they were looking forward to their usual summer vacation. So I was therefore very, very surprised at a lot of the negative comments I saw on social media, where people have in large part criticized the teachers for their stance. This is also surprising because annual holiday is a statutory right, so that all employees in Barbados, once they've completed at least a year's continuous service, are entitled to receive annual paid holiday. In fact, the right is so protected that under the Holidays with Pay Act, if a period of 6 months has passed and your employer has not approached you about taking holiday, you can actually make a complaint to the labor office. So that this is a right that is understood employees deserve, and naturally it is to make sure we don't reach to a situation where we have a workforce that is burnt out. So if annual paid holiday is a legal right that is afforded to employees in Barbados, and since we know many employees fiercely protect their right to take their holiday, so much so that if their employer fails to give them holiday, delays it too much, or asks them to work through the holiday, many of these same employees are quick to run to the labor office, call the union representative, or go to attorney to say, my boss is not giving me holiday. So why then was there such a negative outcry against teachers for refusing to give up their summer holiday when it's the legal right that they have? Teachers are employees too, and in large part, they're afforded the same legal rights as most employees enjoy. So why are we chastising them for wishing to make use of their legal right to take annual holiday? Burnout is real. And when employees fail to recognize the signs and take proactive measures to prevent or recover from burnout, then the consequences are dire. I know this from my own personal experience, and I will share some of that a bit later today. Now, I want to approach the topic from three angles. The first is the teacher's perspective. I want to find out or explore why is it the teachers said no, and why is it they believe they're experiencing burnout to the point where they need to protect their mental and physical health. The second angle is, let's look at the law. What does the law say about a teacher's right to vacation? And the last one is to just speak briefly on this whole issue of burnout. So let us dive right in. Now, to get the teacher's perspective, this week, I had the privilege of speaking with a longtime educator who I'll only refer to as Mr. Aline for the purpose of this podcast. And he explained to me a number of the issues that teachers had been facing. And he, with his permission, I'll be sharing excerpts of the conversation I had with him. So one of the first things I queried of Mr. Aline was the statement by Mr. Pedro Shepherd, who again is the president of Barbados Union of Teachers. Mr. Shepherd said publicly that online teaching is 2 to 3 times harder than physical teaching. And I wanted to get a feel from Mr. Aline as to why online teaching was presenting more difficulties to teachers than was physical teaching. And this is what Mr. Aline had to say.
The what persons are missing, we have completely changed the way we teach in an emergency situation and now in an ongoing situation. So it is not just the medium that people need to look at. It is the fact that those of us who learn, those of us who teach, the medium is just one aspect of the learning process or the past transfer of knowledge process. Because you know how to get students accustomed and able to learn via the technology. You have to get teachers accustomed and able to teach via the technology and to use the technology. So there are really 3 different layers that are going on within this process. Learning the technology that you never used before, adjusting your resources and material to suit the technology, and then actually executing it on the given day or at the given time.
Based on what Mr. Aline had to say, the teachers are having difficulties from several angles. First of all, they had to learn the new G Suite. Then they had to convert their lessons into digital format so that it could be used on the G Suite. And then they had the additional challenge of making sure that the method they were using to teach the children, who are now stuck in front of a screen for a large part of the day, was enough to keep the students engaged and to allow them to continue to learn the material. Now, this involved a lot of off-screen prep time. And I believe a lot of the persons who have been criticizing teachers for their stance, because I saw some of the commenters say teachers are lazy, and, you know, everybody had to adjust to COVID and everybody had stress in the workplace and they need to stop hiding behind COVID. And that's because a lot of people think that teaching is limited to the classroom and don't realize how much prep time goes into preparing and making this lesson. So when that you have now moved from a physical teaching perspective and carried it into the online format, everything is digitized. And this requires a lot of prep work both before and after. On top of that, the teachers still have to monitor the students and their learning curves and learning abilities and spend time reaching out to the students who are struggling learning through the online platform. So I can understand, based on the explanation given by Mr. Aline, why it is teachers would say that teaching via the online platform is much more difficult than the physical teaching. Now, what I find interesting is that last year, a lot of parents actually complained about online learning. The complaints range from insufficient access to computers and tablets, unfamiliarity with the G Suite, internet issues, and the trouble of supervising children who had to sit for long periods in front of a screen with waning attention spans. So if this is the general difficulty that even parents themselves were experiencing, why would teachers have been immune from these difficulties? The contrary has to be true, which is they were also experiencing the difficulties, the exact difficulties as the parents, but with added challenges. We also have to remember that a lot of these teachers are parents. So they have their own children that they either have to babysit or also supervise while those children are doing online learning and still teach their classes. And that is not an easy feat. And when you add to all of that COVID, the ash fall, the restricted shopping hours, and every challenge we as people felt last year and this year because of COVID, the teachers who are humans like we are would have had the same challenges. So I can understand why they're tired. So the second question I asked Mr. Aline was based on the ministry's assertion that a number of children have fallen behind due to the online platform being used. Some kids are just not keeping up and enough of the curriculum hasn't been covered. So I asked Mr. Aline to share his view on why he thought we were so far behind in the curriculum. And this is what he had to say.
When we did the online interim 3 last year, the instruction was to focus more on revision since you were now making the transition. So not much new material would have been taught between March and July last year.
I don't think many people know that.
Yeah. That was the instruction. I mean, some schools are still trying to do some new things to push on. But given that we had to just suddenly go online, the thinking was don't try to teach 100 new things, especially since a lot of students may not have been able to get online on such short notice. So again, teachers have been constantly during the course of the last 12 months trying to catch up, so to speak. Now, the ministry's position on it, I know they will believe and everybody would believe that because of all the time that students may have spent at home, there's a view that the level or quality of online instruction was not sufficient to give the usual type of knowledge and content gain. And there is some merit in that in some cases, but that is no indication of the lack of teaching or lack of passing on of information on the part of teachers. That is really just a case of a new modality, a new medium, taking time to get accustomed to it. And obviously, if you would normally cover 10 topics in a school year or in a school term, typically persons may have covered 6 or so. Hence the primary school assessment, the ministry did that show that there were some gaps. But I can tell you my view on it, though, I do not think that we should be rushing and barreling with burnt out instructors, current students, to try to make up. I believe we should be using this thing to properly put things in place and put a plan in place for the coming year, so that we could truly assess how bad the losses were and structure the programs to make up for them.
So a number of people probably never realized that when the online learning or teaching first began last year, the teachers were specifically advised to focus on revision first. And that's because a number of students still did not have devices and we wanted to make sure that they didn't fall behind. So that part of the reason that the teachers are behind on the curriculum has nothing to do with being lazy or complaining unnecessarily, but the material that they were told to focus on was not new. They were told, let's keep it to revision. And it's only since this term, since the new school year started in September, that they would have, you know, because by now a lot of the kinks had been worked out with the online platform, that they were then focusing on teaching new material. And naturally, as a result, and between all the pauses, the lockdowns, the ash, etc. that we had, they fell behind on the curriculum. I especially like Mr. Aline's comment that trying to put pressure on burnt out students and teachers to get them to catch up will not produce the result we want. When you're burnt out, you can't learn. When you're burnt out, you can't be creative. When you're burnt out, your memory doesn't work the same way. So while I understand what the Ministry of Education is trying to do, it will not be achieved in the current environment when the teachers are exhausted and the children are exhausted. So finally, I asked Mr. Aline, what did he believe was the best approach for the way forward?
I can see where the public feels about it, but I think in all things, the approach in education, I always preach this, needs to be one of collaboration and understanding, not just simply, this is what I want. So I would love if parents would understand what teachers have really gone through. Yes, there are a few bad apples, and yes, there are some people who did not do what they were supposed to do. I will admit that up front, for sure. But generally speaking, the average teacher, in the mean, wants to know their children have learned. And where anything stops it, be it COVID or online teaching, it impacts them. And they've dealt with this dual blow of trying to teach as good as they can with all this new stuff, while trying to reach children who are also trying to learn as best as they can with this new stuff. And I think that is why we need to pause for a little bit. Just catch our breaths.
Right.
Take a breath. Everybody needs to just take a little breather. You know, let the children ramble outside for a little bit. Let teachers de-stress, and then we come back ready for whatever comes in September.
So I'm very grateful to Mr. Aline giving us the perspective to let us understand why it is the teachers are just saying no to summer school. It has nothing to do, and I never thought it did, but it has nothing to do with them being lazy. A number of the people who are complaining and making very harsh negative comments on social media said teachers already have too much holiday anyway. That was a complaint. So, but if you want more holiday, why you don't go into teaching? Why you don't go and get qualified at Erdiston Teaching School or go to UA and get your degree and then apply to the Ministry of Education? It is not enough to say they already get too much holiday. They deserve the holiday. Because I know so many parents who, after COVID and all this online supervision they had to do for their children, they praised teachers and said they never realized how much work it really, really is. So we need to be fair in our assessment of the teachers in their rejection of the proposal by the Ministry of Education to not teach summer school. So let's also look at what does the law say in respect of these teachers. Now, teachers are actually civil servants. They're employed within the civil service, so that a lot of the legislation, private legislation, would not apply to them. So for instance, the Holidays with Pay Act applies to primarily to employees within the private sector, but teachers are governed by the Public Service Act and the General Orders under the Public Service Act. And under Section 5.1 of the General Orders of the Public Service, it states that head teachers and teachers of primary and secondary schools are not eligible for vacation leave other than during the period of school vacation, which means the only time they can get holiday is when school is on vacation and not otherwise. So that if the teachers agreed to teach during summer school and they had two proposals, part of July and part of August, if they agreed to do this, they would be giving up their holiday. And there is no provision within the general orders that says teachers get to accumulate unused vacation days. So the result would be they would teach for July and August and not get back those vacation days. They would essentially have to then go right into prep for the September term and then start teaching again. And that would definitely be a recipe for burnout. People are saying they had the Easter break, but some don't know that many of the teachers actually work throughout the Easter break, especially those who have students that are preparing for 11 plus or CAPE or CXC. So it is not fair to suggest that because there might have been a short break earlier in the year, and Easter would have occurred right before, I believe, the ash fall. So it's not fair. Just as every employee is entitled to vacation, teachers are also entitled, and we need to stop treating them as superhumans who don't have the same needs as the rest of us. So finally, I want to look at this whole issue of burnout. So them tired, them say them tired, them exhausted. They're going from last year and they've had a number of challenges, both personal and in teaching. And they want to take their vacation. Now, everything I heard from Mr. Aline suggested to me that they really are, or a lot of them really are, on the verge of burnout. Now, burnout is defined as the extinction of motivation or incentive. So you no longer feel like turning up for work. You don't feel like doing what you do. You hate everything about your job. It is also defined as a reaction to prolonged or chronic job stress and is characterized by three main dimensions: exhaustion, cynicism, so that you become detached and no longer identify with the job, and also feelings of reduced professional ability. More simply put, if you feel exhausted, start to hate your job, and begin to feel less capable at work, you are showing signs of burnout. The stress that contributes to burnout can come mainly from jobs, but the stress can also be from your overall lifestyle. And everything about this definition sounds to me like what the teachers are complaining of: being demotivated and exhausted. And as far as I'm concerned, teachers are the bedrock of society and they shape our future generations. The last thing we need is demotivated teachers in the classroom, because they will not inspire passion. They will not inspire desire to learn or to achieve in our children. And that is why it is important to allow them to take their vacation. Now, I am particularly biased to this whole issue of taking rest to prevent burnout, because I had my experience at the end of 2019. In 2019, I worked and I worked and I worked. Oh Lord, I worked. I work weekends. I work late nights. In fact, if I went out twice, I went out enough. When I wasn't working, I was doing errands or chores and then back to work. So that by the end of December 2019, I was exhausted. And I remember I went to my accountant and we were speaking. I said to him, I'm done with law. I am done. I'm not do this no more. I'm tired. It is soul sucking. That's literally the word I use. And I still believe law can be soul sucking if you let it. And I remember he sat there and he let me throw my little tantrum and he listened to me and he smiled and he said, you're not done with law. And I was like, you don't know me. Yes, I am. I don't care what you say. I'm tired of all of this and I can't always be last. I kept feeling like I was always last. Everyone else's needs had to be above mine. And he said, Michelle, you're burnt out. And at the time, I mean, I'd heard the term, but I never really knew what it was. So I did my own little research and I learned and I realized he was right. Every symptom I was having and everything I was feeling was because I was exhausted. I had not taken any vacation. I had constantly been getting sick throughout the year and I would work through my illnesses. And I never even made time to have fun. So I did something I hadn't done in years. I took a 3-week vacation. The last time I'd taken a 3-week vacation was in 2014. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to take this 3-week vacation. And it was so transformational. Because I remember in the January, all of a sudden my brain felt like it was alive again. All of a sudden, my memory was kicking in. Cases that I couldn't find solutions for. All of a sudden, I was coming up with ideas. My creative juices were flowing. And I felt like Michelle again. So I know the effects of burnout. And if left untreated, burnout will let you leave a job that you would love anyway. Or a job that you could do well in anyway. And that is why we can't allow our teachers to get to that point of burnout. Many also don't know, I used to teach part-time for 4 years between the Hospitality Institute, which is Palm Marine, and BCC. Now, I had the older children, because I think they were mostly between like 16 and 18, and during summer school, I would teach the adults. So you would think it would be easier because this is a more mature group, but I cannot begin to tell you how much prep work there was. People think the only time you're doing work is when you're before in front of the class and before the students, but that's not true. There was a point I had over 100 students, and I cannot tell you what it was like every week marking over 100 homeworks. Then when coursework came up, I was marking over 100 papers of coursework. And because it's law I was teaching, we're talking about answers that taking up 2 and 3 pages for one question only. So it was tons of reading. It was prepping for the class and typing up handouts to give the children. And then, of course, marking exams, marking coursework. It really takes a lot out of you. And there was one semester that I had on Saturdays. I had 2 back-to-back 3-hour classes. And I had a rule with my friends. I say, on Saturdays, don't call me because I've used up my word quota. So anybody who would call me upon a Saturday evening, I would just look on the phone, but I wouldn't answer it because I literally would feel drained and I had nothing more to give. So imagine teachers who are doing this full-time because mine was part-time. Imagine what happens to them. And what we need to make sure we don't lose our humanity and forget to be in touch with ourselves and our centers so that we end up criticizing unnecessarily rather than trying to understand, empathize, and show compassion. And part of it is that there is a toxic work culture that often promotes productivity at all costs, even if it's at the cost of your mental, physical, and emotional health. There's this quote that says, destroy the idea that you have to be constantly working or grinding in order to be successful. Embrace the concept that rest, recovery, and reflection are essential parts of the progress towards a successful and ultimately happy life. Rest is just as important as productivity. You can't have one without the other. So let our teachers rest. Let them regroup. Do an assessment of the needs of the children and how the curriculum or the system or the platform might need tweaking. And let them come again in September. I am Michelle Russell, attorney at law. Thank you for joining me again this week. And let us each remember to adhere to good labor practices. Bye-bye now.